tapestry. But it would be incorrect to think that there was essentially a single style of painting and mosaic work in Constantinople. If you move farther along the south side of that upper gallery, you'll encounter an early 13th century panel, a dioecious of that's John the Baptist and Mary interceding before Christ of Christ's mercy, and that is a stunning mosaic work where it looks like a painting, which is very mannerist and shows a whole new naturalist side coming through in the early 13th century. It's assumed that it was commissioned shortly after the city was retaken from the Crusaders in 1261, and that type of tradition, which comes out of the Comenian Renaissance, which is favored in the 13th century, leads to the magnificent paintings of the Church of the Savior in Cora, paintings in Mystra, and that tradition is very readily transmitted to Italy and Western Europe in the 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries. So all of these achievements in literary production, in visual arts, and architecture owe a great deal to the Comenian emperors of the 12th century during the era of the Crusades. Well, what about the transmission of these arts into medieval Europe and these achievements? Well, it's a mixed picture. The literary productions didn't transmit that quickly or easily to Western Europe. There are several reasons for that, and that is a limited number of translators. There are very few bilinguals in the 12th century. It's one of the reasons Crusaders and Byzantines are constantly misunderstanding each other. There's only a few people in Italy who really know Greek and Latin. The study of Latin as a literary and serious language in Constantinople had long languished since the 7th century AD. And in order to transmit all of those achievements in Plato, in Greek writing, all of the tragedies in Homer, you needed Latin translations. And those translations were not really readily available until the 14th and 15th centuries. That is the period immediately after the Crusades, where you've had a Western European occupation of Greece, you've had a lot more contact, and you have Greeks learning Latin, Greek speakers, Byzantines learning Latin to communicate with the Western clergy, and then there's that surge of translation that allows for those transmissions and achievements of the 12th and early 13th century. And you also have scholars leaving the Byzantine world, residing in Venice, residing in Western European cities, and bringing these texts with them. On the other hand, in terms of architecture and the visual arts, there was a much more rapid transmission. And that was a transmission that perhaps would have gone on despite the Crusades, or whether there were no Crusades, but clearly the crusading movement, clearly the development of the Mediterranean trade by the Italians, which we're going to talk about soon in an upcoming lecture, that facilitated a very rapid dissemination of a lot of the visual arts. Some of the elements of architecture were transmitted. It's difficult to bring a whole building over, but crusaders were certainly aware of many Byzantine architectural principles. They preferred to use their own Gothic or Romanesque traditions in Outremer, and in some instances actually brought in Western European architectural techniques to Greece in the 13th century. But if you look at a city such as Venice, its church San Marco, there is a magnificent Byzantine-style church. It's a perfect Byzantine plan. Don't be deceived by the current Gothic facade, which was put up in the 13th century. The Church of St. Mark in Venice is a Byzantine church. It's a cross and square plan. Its mosaics are of the best tradition. You could find examples of those mosaics at Daphne, the imperial monastery outside of Athens today, or a variety. You could go to Chios and see the Neomone. You'd see a tremendous amount of influence from the metropolitan mosaic and fresco painting in Venice. It's enriched with all sorts of classical, classicizing Byzantine objects. These would be reliquies. These would be icons, all of them in the treasury of San Marco. Probably tapestries and textiles as well. In Norman Sicily, the story is much the same. Roger II commissioned a great cathedral at Cefalù, which is just south of Palermo. In there is a marvelous adaptation of Byzantine-style mosaics. His successor and grandson, William II, at Montreal, likewise took up the tradition of using Byzantine train or Byzantine mosaicists. There's a marvelous mosaic there showing the Norman king being crowned by Christ, and the Norman king is presenting the church. It's right out of imperial iconography, and if you want a good idea of what Norman pretensions are like, you simply visit those two churches, and you can see very clearly that the Norman kings saw themselves as the heirs of the political, cultural, and intellectual traditions of Constantinople. They're expressing it right there on their mosaics.